Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newell probably made a wise decision. He planned a vacation for now a long time ago, and his timing worked out pretty well for him. I hope he made it to the airport and got out of here as planned today. I don't know, to be honest with you, but I do know it took me 3 hours to get from Laranjer to downtown New Orleans today. Normally it's a 1 hour trip. It was a 2 hour and 15 minute trip yesterday. Folks are texting us that it's taking them 4 hours to get from Marrero to the Lower Garden District. Somebody says they've been sitting in traffic 1.5 hours trying to get from Avondale to the split in West Wego. Somebody else just told us that it's taken them 1.5 hours to get from Slidell to the South Shore. Travel times are crazy. It's taking people literally 3 hours or more to get into the greater New Orleans area from all points on the West Bank, out to the east, out to the west, and from the North Shore. And it really all comes down to one thing. I-10 is closed. It's closed the entire stretch from Laplace to Slidell. And honestly, I've looked at every camera along that stretch, and I don't see any ice or snow anywhere across the Bonnie Carey Spillway, through Kenner, through Metairie, out through New Orleans East. Well, there's no cameras in the east for whatever reason, out to the high rise, and across the Twin Spans. So let's find out what it is that is preventing officials from reopening this vital route and causing people to sit in traffic for 3 and 4 hours trying to get into New Orleans. Trooper Jacob Pichoux joins us. He's the spokesman for Louisiana State Police Troop B. Trooper, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Well, a lot of people are really feeling the frustration. I wish today we could have all just closed everything again and no one have to go anywhere. That would have been a whole lot better. But a lot of bosses told workers to come to work. A lot of people had places they had to go and couldn't sit any longer. And I think other people just wanted to get out and are now paying the price because there's so much traffic on all of the surface level roads that it's really a nightmare.
Yes, we're seeing a huge influx of traffic as compared to the past few days when everybody was heeding those warnings, and it's leading to these delay times, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know a lot of officials, up to and including the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, had told us today's going to be a normal day. Finally, Friday, everything's going to be back to normal. They were saying that as recently as yesterday morning. So I think a lot of people thought, well, they better go to work today. They better get things done today. They can resume their normal activities today. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, the road conditions aren't cooperating. Have you been able to surveil or talk to people who have been up on the I-10, say, in Kenner, Metairie, and New Orleans, and get a good understanding as to why that major vital thoroughfare is still closed?
Yes, sir. So I even was on I-55 and I-10 this morning, and there's still ice and snow on some overpasses. And the issue is if we open it, and DOTD is still assessing, but if we go ahead and open it, there's choke points, and we won't be able to get people off and on safely in certain areas, and there will just be more backups with crashes. So I know DOTD is working very hard. We're assisting with them in any way that they need, and as soon as we can open, it will be opened.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the video now at I-10 and Causeway, and I can definitely see a shimmer on the road on that camera right there on that little overpass that may or may, I can't tell if it's ice or water at this point. There's no snow there. The Bonneville overpass, which yesterday was still covered in 8 inches of snow, that's all gone now. Is it that they want to be able to open everything from LaPlace to Slidell at the same time? They don't want to piecemeal it by doing, say, Kenner and Metairie, or from the airport to downtown? They want to wait till the spillway and the twin spans are ready?
So that'd probably be you'd probably get a better answer from DOTD on that. My thinking from state police side, all the area that we monitor, yes, because, again, we don't want to get people on the interstate going interstate speeds to where all of a sudden we're at a choke point and they have to get off on an exit, take the low roads through Kenner or through Metairie, and then they can get back on, because that's just going to do exactly what you see here, as well as create a backup on the interstates, and people are going interstate speeds, and now we have interstate speeds crashes.
Yeah, I imagine if you, say, opened it from the airport to downtown, if everyone had to get off then, say, at Claiborne or Howard or something like that, because of the overpasses and the flyovers and things like that, that then you just have it back up all the way to the airport. So we'd have the same situation right on the interstate that we have on the ground level now. So I think the only real answer is, if you don't have to go, please don't go, because you will sit literally for hours on a commute that normally takes minutes.
Yes, yes, and that's the issue. I know there are people out there that I heard on the, I was listening on the show right before we got on, and he said he hangs sheetrock, and these contractors or people who rely on tips, and everybody who has their own business, their own boss, we understand that they need to get to work. Those are the people that if they have to be out there, they have to be working. Those, we understand that. But anybody else who is just out about doesn't have to be, please stay home. It's not making it easier for anybody. And we're seeing an influx in crashes, as well as just more disabled vehicles on the road just sitting in traffic.
And I got to imagine we have some road rage issues, if not rearing their heads, simmering, because I saw a number of intersections where people who did not want to wait for another change of the light, either on Airline Highway or on River Road or once I got into the city, were getting into the intersection while it was green and then stuck there when it turned red. And so we have literal gridlock at many intersections.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, that goes back to the governor has said it many times. Our colonel has said it multiple times. One team, one Louisiana. As long as we follow all of the traffic laws and follow the signals and the stop signs and get off our phones, wear our seatbelts and watch our speed, it would make this traffic bleed through and pull through a lot better. So everybody, we're asking to be patient and everybody work together.
Yeah, and obviously the traffic system is engineered to have the interstate open. It's not. And so if we're getting the same number of people or even anywhere resembling a large influx of normal traffic, it's just nowhere for all those cars to go right now.
Correct.
So what else do you advise people other than don't head into the heart of New Orleans if you don't have to? Stay out of the downtown area, and really, unless you absolutely have to go to the airport area or anywhere in Metairie, it's going to be extremely slow going. And the West Bank looks like it's got some of the worst of it. Can you advise any people anything other than if you don't have to get in it, don't do it, because you're not going to enjoy it?
The last update I saw is that more lanes of the Huey P have been opened. So the Huey P. Long Bridge, that's a bigger area for traffic to go now. So if they have to come and go from the East Bank to the West Bank, that would be a better option if they need to get where they're going. But just keep in mind that at some point, if you have to go to those main thoroughfares, towards those main thoroughfares, there's going to be a backup of traffic.
Trooper Jacob Pesci, I know it's been a long, long week for you, and I know you more than anyone else, or as much as anyone else, are looking forward to Monday when hopefully everything returns to normal. In the meantime, we do appreciate your coming on, taking the heat when it's flying your way, and keeping us posted on what's going on. I know you're not making the decisions on whether or not to open or close things, but we appreciate you sharing the information with us.
Right. Well, I appreciate you. Just give us a little bit more time and DOTD a little bit more time and everybody be patient. And soon enough, it will all be open.
All right. Trooper Jacob Pesci, Public Information Officer for Louisiana State Police, Trooper E, thank you. All right, folks, I know it's frustrating. I just lived it myself, and I'm hearing it from you. Those of you calling and texting us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. If you had to travel, call us and tell us how long it took you to get where you were going and how long you normally would take to get there. My one-hour drive was right at 3 hours and 15 minutes, really. And I left at 7:15 this morning. I knew I had to be on the air at 10 o'clock. And after yesterday, it took me just over 2 hours to get home on that same route. I was kind of figuring, it's probably going to be a little longer because more people are going to be out, but I didn't think it would be a whole 33% longer, that it would take me 3 hours to get downtown this morning. And we're hearing, you heard the call earlier, from Marrero to the Lower Garden District, 4 hours. We're going to check you back in with Chris Miller. He was trying to get across the Crescent City Connection a little while ago. When we get back from this break, we'll see where he's at now. Melissa Lee, spokeswoman for the Audubon Insectarium Zoo and Aquarium, called us. She was trying to get in from Slidell. And last we heard, she had made it across Highway 11, US 11 Bridge, and was on 90 making her way towards through New Orleans East. We'll check in with her if she wants to call us back as well, see how she's doing making it there. I just looked at the camera on the I-10 at Old Spanish Trail, where they're shutting you down and taking you over to Highway 11. That line is crazy. I saw a live shot from the lower level of the West Bank Expressway as people trying to get both to the Huey P and the Crescent City Connection. That's ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about you're sitting there for hours, folks. Trooper said that they're opening more lanes, or all of the lanes, it looks like, on the Huey P Long. But remember, if you're going to the East Bank, there's a red light at Clearview. And there's a bunch of red lights before you get there. Every time those turn red, it's going to back traffic up onto the bridge. If you're going to the West Bank, you got the red lights in Bridge City. So in, I wouldn't do it.
Now I feel sorry when you said that about the people that have to hold it throughout this whole entire event.
Did I say that?
No, I'm saying I'm concerned about it. When you was talking about 4 hours to get across the bridge, there's nowhere to go.
Yes. Exactly. I see what you're saying, Coleman. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I know a lot of you are feeling that pain as well. And that's a bad place to be, trying to decide, do I get out on the side of the road? Do I try to stop somewhere? Do I look for a empty Gatorade bottle? All right, I'm ending this conversation right here. Why did I let you take me down that road? We'll be back after this on WWL. Call me now, 504-260-1870.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
11:25. Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Chris Miller just walked into the studio. You made it from the West Bank. How long did it take to get from Algiers to downtown?
Total time, about 2 hours.
And your commute's only about, what, 10 miles?
Less than that. And time-wise, maybe 20 minutes if it's not a high traffic period. If I were to come in at the height of what is our normal morning rush hour, 30, 35 tops.
And it took you 2 hours.
2 hours. I could have saved myself maybe a half hour if I'd
cut the line by going around.
Well, I wouldn't call it cutting the line. I went to a signaled interchange.
No, I understand.
And amazingly,
not accusing you of, like, you know, zipping around in the lane and then cutting in at the last second, but if you'd taken another less traveled route before you got to the bridge.
Yeah, from where I am, and I'll call it where I am in what I'll call central Algiers, if I had taken, say, General Meyer to Shirley, which is right outside Federal City, taken that down to De Gaulle, because no one else was doing that.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras Boulevard, there is a huge line of people trying to get on the ramp there, which kind of surprised me because most people try and avoid that.
Well, and from the Jefferson Parish side, it's crazy backed up on the ground level West Bank Expressway trying to get to the Crescent City connection.
Well, and that's probably why, because if you're on the Jefferson Parish side, those ramps that you would normally use aren't available, so you've either got to continue up under the bridge and come down Mardi Gras Boulevard, or you've got to try and go down to Gaulle and find a place to U-turn and then come back towards the bridge, which is a mess.
Yeah, and we feel your pain. You took 2 hours for what is less than a 10-mile commute. I have a 70-mile commute. Usually it takes me just at an hour. It took me 3 hours today. Someone just texted us about 4 hours from Covington to the West Bank. Usually takes an hour. We heard from someone trying to get from Marrero to the Lower Garden District. Took her 4 hours to do that because there are so many choke points, so many closures, and so many opportunities, and honestly, a lot of ice holes who are blocking intersections because they don't want to wait for another change of the light. I know people are impatient. They don't want to be delayed another 45 seconds waiting for the light to cycle. But if you pull into the intersection and then you're stuck there, then you're just making it worse for everybody.
Yeah. Amazingly, I saw very little of that. Maybe once I saw someone kind of block it up. Otherwise, people were being considerate. They were letting one car in ahead of them, and no one was trying to jump in behind that one car they let in, which surprised me because I usually see that on a normal day.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, we know you got to get ready for the 12 o'clock news, and coming in an hour and a half later than you thought you would be, we will let you go do that. Chris Miller, we'll hear from him in the news coming up in about 30 minutes here on WWL. Hearing from people about their horror stories coming in this morning. One person says, took from Slidell up through Bush. Instead of going through Causeway, an hour and 15-minute drive turned into 3.5 hours. In my case, if the Causeway had opened just a few minutes earlier, I probably would have taken I-12 to the Causeway and then come in that way. But still getting into the city from Metairie is log-jammed right now on all of the possible routes. It really makes a huge impact when the interstate is closed. And we heard what Trooper Jacob Pischew said. We heard what Jacques Thibodeau said last hour from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. I don't think anyone is keeping the interstate closed because they just want to. I don't think anyone is refusing to open it because they feel like they have the power or anything like that. I think it is out of abundance of caution. I'm looking right now at a live camera shot of the I-10 Pontchartrain Expressway adjacent to the Superdome and the Smoothie King Center. And there is a DOTD crew out there, and there is a shiny spot on the road that they are treating now. And it appears there is still, on that elevated section, looks like about a 50-foot-long patch of ice covering all three lanes at that spot. So they have three trucks out now. They have a crew out there, and it looks like I can't tell because it's a little too far from the camera if they're putting salt down, if they're breaking it up physically, or exactly what they're doing. But they're up there working on it. And I can tell you that in the far left lane, there's still snow covering about a third of the far left lane. So there are spots of ice and snow still along the I-10 corridor. We can see it. We know it's there. I am not accusing anybody of anything. I don't think they're intentionally delaying the opening of the interstate. You can argue and question whether they could have had more equipment, more people, and more attention to trying to prevent this and treating it on the front end, if they could have responded to it more quickly. But again, this is unprecedented. I don't want to pass judgment at this point. There'll be plenty of time for that. after we do the after-action reviews, after we get all the data and information. But right now, I know a lot of people are very unhappy because it's taking them 3 and 4 hours to do an hour commute, or like Chris Miller, 2 hours to do a 20-minute commute, or all of the other horror stories that we're hearing. Did I absolutely positively have to drive in it today? I could have worked from my home studio, but I did agree to do a television show on WYES-TV this afternoon, and I have to be in studio for that. So I had to come in, and, you know, I can question my own decision on agreeing to be on that TV show on Informed Sources this evening, but I had to come in for that. So that crew just put out cones. They're coning the Pontchartrain Expressway. So I am going to guess, and we got Colin Arnold on the line, so I'll stop guessing and I'll ask him. He is the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. Colin, thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Hey, David.
I'm watching crews putting cones on the Pontchartrain Expressway. Is that indicative of maybe they're going to let traffic from the Crescent City Connection continue onto the expressway soon?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I've been speaking with Scott Boyle all morning. We've worked really closely this entire time, the last 4 days. The goal is to get everything open this afternoon or evening. And we've got the city plows that we found or got a vendor for that are just going back and forth on I-10 right now from Kenner to the Twin Span. And just everything they can do. This is our last day with the plows. They're going to continue. They did 610 and 510 last night. And
I said 610's open, so that's encouraging.
Yep. They did the flyovers to the airport last night as well, and I think they're going to go do them again. And then again, focus on I-10 just through Jefferson Parish and through New Orleans to get it ready to completely be opened up. So I think that's coming soon. Plus, this weather is just killing this snow, which is a great thing. The temperatures weren't as cold as predicted or forecast last night, at least in the downtown area. I think the lowest we saw was 34 actual. So it's going
to
be a little wet.
Still
and
cold
soggy,
enough to make ice on the elevated overpasses, of course. But
exactly. Well, exactly. It can, or at least inhibit its rapid kind of departure. You know.
So, in a nutshell, why do you think we still, and I know a lot of people thought today would be back to a normal day, and there was a lot of hope and optimism, maybe a little too much, but a lot of people are traveling right now, and I don't know if you've been able to hear it, but people are trying to get from the West Bank to downtown, and it's taken 3 hours. People are trying to get from the North Shore into the city, and it's taking 3 and 4 hours. It's just, without the interstate's important, and without it, it's tough. What is your basic understanding of why the interstate's still closed?
Elevated roadways and bridges. That's what it is. We're a city that is absolutely surrounded, intersected, and completely reliant to a certain extent on bridges and elevated roadways. When you think about just I-10 alone from Gonzales down, or once you get to La Place, really, the Bonnie Carey Spillway, all of that's elevated. So it's all subject to freeze at much lower temperatures and much lower threshold than surface streets. And then the bridges, the Crescent City Connection, all these bridges across the Industrial Canal, the St. Claude Bridge, all of the Seabrook, all of the 90 is elevated, the expressway, a lot of I-10 through the city is elevated, 610 is elevated. It's just, I think that's the biggest hurdle towards full reopening right now is just the fact that those bridges are still holding ice, and that's the concern.
Plus, the
on and off ramps to them are steep, and so if there's any ice on them, we start to see vehicles rolling back, even police vehicles. A lot of our police officers are not from here or are from here and are not used to driving in snow.
Yeah, being from here doesn't help driving in ice and snow, you're right.
That's right.
Cynthia Lee Shang told me yesterday one of the things she was going to do now was definitely get some plows they could attach to city to parish vehicles, and she said get some of those salt thingies. Do you anticipate...
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, and I we were looking at the same thing. We actually looked at trying renting some first before this started, and there was nothing available. And then, but yeah, moving forward, you can have a dump truck or even a decent sized pickup truck, and you can put the attachments and have the blades ready to go and the salt spreader on the back ready to go. And they sell them as units. And I can imagine at this point, after this, you know, I think this level of storm was hopefully probably the only one we're ever going to see, you know, but you never know. We do have freezing conditions every year. And so if we see this again, I'd rather us be a little more prepared. And we're going to also, obviously, in the after action, keep all these companies we've worked with on the Rolodex, because they've been great with us.
Talking with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. As many had hoped, today would be back to normal. We're not there, folks. The interstate still is closed the entire way from St. John Parish through Jefferson Parish, Orleans Parish, and until you get to St. Tammany Parish, the I-10 is completely shut down still, and that's creating gridlock across the region. We are watching DOTD crews right now putting cones out on the Pontchartrain Expressway. Looks like they may be able to get some of that open sooner than later, but we'll stay tuned for any official announcements. Thank you, by the way, salt spreader. That's probably the more accurate term than salt thingy.
but I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, well, that was President Chang's term, not mine. But, yeah, so, I mean, obviously there'll be lessons learned from this. You know, I commonly tell people the story about after Katrina. Here at WWL, we bought a fleet of boats. We bought an RV that we converted into a studio so we could actually have a studio anywhere we go. We spent a lot of time and effort preparing for the next Katrina. Thank God we never needed any of that. We've never used the boats. We've never used the RV studio. We've never needed any of it. But it was better to have it, I think. And with the wild swings we're seeing in weather now for no politics, no science, just fact that we're seeing more wild swings in weather right now, you know, having plows and salt spreaders just seems like it makes sense.
Well, even if I have the salt spreaders, when we have a freeze event, which we have, like I said, these bridges with a little precipitation can freeze every year. That even if I had three of those, I could knock out. We could knock out bridges very quickly, you know, and salt them appropriately, and keep going. So, I mean, it's definitely something, you know, that's why we do after action reviews. We identify part of it. Part of the whole process is identifying equipment or logistics that you may need in the future.
Talking with Colin Arnold, folks trying to get from Algiers to downtown. It's taking 2 hours right now. I guess the advice really is, and I know you kind of backed off on the stay home message yesterday, and it was more of think twice before you leave home. But even today, I know a lot of bosses told people they had to come to work, and a lot of people had things they had to take care of, but people are really feeling the pain if they're trying to get into the downtown area particularly.
I just ask people to just be patient till the end of the day. I know I've said that probably 2 days in a row now, but you know, it is getting dramatically better. You know, we're seeing it through a lot of the DOTD cameras, through a lot of our own city cameras. The snow's going away. It every hour the sun's out, it's getting better and better. And so it's today is going to be rough, but, you know, it will get dramatically better.
Yeah, that's the bad news. The good news is there's not a citywide boil water advisory. We talked to Ghassan Korban at the Sewage and Water Board a little while ago, and it looks like folks listened to your messaging and his and the mayor's, and they trickled their pipes when they had to, but they didn't overuse, and we've been able to maintain pressure in the system.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I've just been overall impressed with the public as usual. You know, we do this stuff during hurricanes. We ask people to shelter in place and be ready. And this is kind of similar to that, but it's the same thing. You ask people to really sacrifice, and they understand in this community, because we've been through maybe not snow before, but we've been through this type of situation before where, you know, there's traffic, whether it's, you know, during hurricane season and there's lines for gas or groceries. You know, it's those, that thing where this is just a pretty amazing place where, you know, you're not seeing people getting road rage or really upset with each other. It's everybody's kind of had shares the the share in like kind of the suck. You know, this does suck, and I get it. And you know, I'm just very grateful that people listen and respond accordingly, and they did that all week.
You know, Chris Miller just came in from Algiers. It took him 2 hours, but he noted that people were being kind and friendly and letting people in when they had to, and we weren't seeing. And I know some people got to be simmering, but it doesn't look like they're boiling over right now because, yeah, you don't expect to take 2 hours to go 10 miles. You don't expect to take 4 hours to get on your normal one-hour commute. So it's tough. But
it is.
Hopefully Monday. This is now a fond memory. Did you get time to get out and in any way enjoy any of this?
I walked around the block at City Hall, but it was pretty treacherous.
No snowball fights, no snowman.
I grew up in the Northwest, so I kind of grew up around snow. I will say it's the first time I've seen it in quite a long time. I've lived here 28 years, and so, you know, I'll tell you, from growing up, this was a real snow event. No matter what anybody says, this was. I don't think there's a city out there that could handle that much snow in one day like that, or in within 24 hours. And our plow people are from Indiana, and they've told us the same thing. You know, whether they're trying to just commiserate with us or not, they're saying, no, this is the real deal when this much falls at one time. It takes time to get back to normal, no matter where you're at.
Yeah, even in Anchorage, Alaska, even in Chicago, even in New York.
Well, I don't know about there. They probably got it.
Well, but they don't typically see 8-9 inches in one day.
No, that's correct. You're right.
So it's unprecedented. And I didn't know that you and I came to the city right about the same time in 97.
I got here in 96, yep.
Okay, so you beat me by a little bit. April of 97 I came in, and you know, and I tell my listeners all the time, you know the difference between a Yankee and a damn Yankee, huh?
Yeah.
A Yankee comes down to visit and goes home. A damn Yankee, well, that's us. We come down here, fall in love with the place, and stay forever. So, all right, Colin, any other thing, any other
still
message
reminded
you want to
share? We're not from here, though.
People frequently remind me of that,
right.
But that
exactly.
Doesn't mean I'm honorary at this point. I'm closing in on 30
right.
years in the city. They're starting to accept me. So.
It's never long enough.
Any other message for our listeners before we let you get back at it?
Yeah, we'll be pushing any of the additional messaging about traffic or any openings through the NOLA Ready emergency alerts. You can text NOLA Ready one word to 77295 on your device, and you'll get the updates when things start, you know, really opening up when we get those messages out.
And as soon as we get those alerts, because we're signed up for them here, we'll put it on the radio as well.
Well, that's the great thing, too, is, yeah, you'll get it through WWL.
The more messaging, the better.
All right.
Absolutely. Colin, thank you. I hope you get some rest soon because you deserve it. I did find it remarkable because I had lots of time to look at the scenery around me on my 3-hour commute today. And most of what's left out there are snowmen and snow women. There's still, and I know because it's a greater volume packed together, but you'll be driving by a yard and all the snow is gone, but there's still this big snowman or snowwoman in the middle of the yard. And that's kind of neat to see they're still there and hanging on. Made me think of Frosty. But eventually they, too, will melt, and that will be the end of that. We'll have memories and pictures, though. I'm Dave Cohen. How long was your commute today? If you got out in it because you had to, you had to go to work, you had to go do something, you didn't have a choice, or you were just tired of sitting at home and you got out, tell me, how long did it take you to get where you were going? 504-260-1870 in the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. I'll share some of your texts and calls. I want to talk to you, though. 504-260-1870. Call me now. All right. I left my house at 7:15 this morning. Got here, about 10:15. I was supposed to be on the air at 10 o'clock. So started the show from my phone. I didn't have a choice, folks, because it took a lot longer than I thought. Someone just texted, morning. I live in Houma, work at MSY. My 45-minute commute became 3.5 hours today. Signed, Pappy. Pappy, thank you for sharing. Sorry to feel your pain. There is some good news in all this. Someone just texted that they came from Covington to Metairie, and it was a normal 26-minute commute across the causeway. Apparently, they had to go somewhere right near the foot of the causeway and didn't have to come downtown. It sounds like the real issues are getting into the city, and that's where the problems lie with the I-10 closed and the Pontchartrain Expressway closed. Crews are working on it. They tell us they hope to have it open this afternoon or this evening, all of the interstate through the entire area. So if you don't have to come into the city, you might not want to do it just yet because we're hearing horror stories about 3, 3.5, and 4-hour commutes. Chris Miller, Miller, who you'll hear on the news in about 10 minutes, took him 2 hours to do his normal 20-minute commute just from Algiers to here in the CBD. Michael, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. It's just I'm on the West Bank trying to get across the river to the East Bank, and I understand that it's a tough deal, but they don't need to open the entire overhead expressway. They just need a few exits on each side where they could free up some of this traffic, because they've actually created a nightmare where anybody that really needs to cross the expressway or get around, they've tied up the entire West Bank. If I had to drive an ambulance and get somebody to the hospital, I'd be in a hell of a situation.
Yeah. I think you're right. If they could just open up like the first three exits instead of just Chapultepec, maybe that would help.
They could do Chapultepec, Camp. They could do Stump, Lafayette, or just a few on each, and not open up the entire overhead expressway.
Right. So then you have the far right lane forced to get off at the first exit, and you have a second lane that you could let go to the second exit. That would probably help.
They need to learn from this, because they've really created a nightmare, and they talk about safety. This is unsafe.
Well, it looks like they may be doing just what you talked about, because I was looking at the cameras along the East Bank Pontchartrain Expressway between the Crescent City Connection and the Smoothie King Center, and they're putting out cones now. So it looks like they're going to extend the distance you can travel on the East Bank very soon, because I saw them working on a patch of ice and then putting cones down. So stay tuned, Michael. Hopefully we'll see that sooner or later. I appreciate your call. And to answer your question, I don't know what prevented it. I don't know if those other ramps were just so icy that they couldn't tend to them. I'll tell you this. I was just looking, because I was trying to find where problems were, and I've been looking in all the cameras. And I'm looking at the I-10 at Causeway camera, and where the entrance and exits go over the interstate and it's shadowed, they're still glistening on the road in those shadows. And that may well be ice. I can't tell because I'm not there. But I can tell you that there's not been evaporation in the shadows right now. And if you hit a patch of ice in that shadow right when you pass Causeway on I-10, we'll have a disaster. I can also tell you this. Those huge flyovers that you use to get on and off at Causeway, they still have snow on them. I can see in the cameras quite a bit of snow on those elevated, and those things are like, 30 feet off the ground, right? So the higher you go, the more cold air you still have blowing underneath them, and the slower it is to melt. So,
yeah, now that you mention it, that when you think about the Chapultepec going through the West Bank and from the East Bank, the exits and the entrance is on the sunny side of the bridge, you know, because even when you come down Chapultepec, you still have to make that loop around. So I think that the fact that the exits and the entrance are on that side, and it was in the shaded part, it probably did help to make it easy to clear.
Yeah, so I get, Michael, you're being concerned and making suggestions on how to do it better next time, and I think that's fine. I just urge people, don't get angry right now, because it's not going to help you and it's not going to help anything else. We'll take more of your calls and your texts. 504-260-1870 right after this. Dave, stop your crying like a baby. You went to work while other people with way more important jobs need to get to work after 3 days of this mess. It's a text I just got on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. I don't think I was crying like a baby. I wasn't intending to. What I was trying to do was tell people what to expect. I made my choices. I decided after three nights of spending the night here at the radio station, I wanted to go home and see my wife. I really did. So yesterday I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take whatever it takes to get home. And it took 2 hours and 15 minutes. I stopped and got some hot food that she wanted. We enjoyed a meal together. We got to spend time together last night. I got to sleep in my bed with my wife last night. And that made me very happy. And it took me 3 hours to get back here today. And I made those choices. And I'm fine with it. I live with it. I just wanted to warn other people what they could expect if they made the same choice, or if they had to get out, if they had to move around. It really seems like the big problems are getting into the heart of New Orleans, into the CBD, and anything to do with the West Bank. If you're trying to get across any of the bridges to the West Bank, someone just texted us. They went from Covington to the West Bank, and it took them 5 hours, what is normally a 1-hour trip. And so, yeah, I get it. I understand your pain. I will tell you this. My doorbell camera has been going off like crazy. Apparently, life is returning to normal. The United States Post Office, Amazon, FedEx, and UPS have all showed up at my house in the last half hour. So there's that.
Mine's been going off, but it's just the snow falling from my roof and sliding down. Like when it's melting, that's been so. Every time I get the ring and I look at it, it's just more snow and slush is falling in front of the camera.
I've seen a lot of animals setting off my camera. Some feral cats, apparently, on my house. The sun is in the front this time of day, and the shade is in the back. And so I saw a few cats on my doorstep a little while ago because they were basking in the sun and setting off my camera. So
I have a feral cat around my house, and I don't understand how it survives all the elements, whether it's this deep freeze or the wind from Francine early this year or the extreme heat that we went.
You didn't take the cat in and feed it and keep it warm during the storm?
No, I can't do that.
I actually set up a heat lamp and animal carrier and put food and water out for the feral cats.
So. And the feral cat is fat, so I don't know where it was getting its food from because I'm not feeding it, but...
If you check your trash cans. All right, Coleman, thank you for sharing. We'll be back after this. We're going to continue to talk about the challenges that everyone is facing today. Not a normal day as we had thought today might be, and officials had optimistically predicted today would be. Not normal at all. Monday, I think you have a much higher likelihood of normalcy than today. So we'll look forward to that. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and the ramp up to the game. Now just, 16 days away? Wow, 16 days from the Super Bowl here in New Orleans, if my math is correct. I think it is. We'll double check it. I'm sure they know. We'll have them join us next. We'll talk about the snow, the terror attack, and everything else leading up to it, and hopefully much better conditions for the Super Bowl.